with Steve Quirk.
Live on digital radio, colorfulradio.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
UK inflation eased back to its lowest level for more than 2 years last month as falling petrol prices helped drive a bigger than expected fall. The ONS said CPI inflation fell to 3.9% in November. Junior doctors are beginning the first of two periods of strike action over Christmas and New Year. They've walked out again until 7 a.m. on Saturday morning. Speaking recently, Health Secretary Victoria Atkins claimed work is ongoing to try and end the industrial action.
It cannot just be me as the Secretary of State having this discussion in public with the Junior Doctors Committee. We need professionals, clinicians working in the system to speak, whether privately or publicly, with their junior doctor colleagues to explain the consequences of this.
The Colorado Supreme Court has declared former President Donald Trump cannot run for the White House under the US Constitution's insurrection clause. It's removed him from the state's presidential primary ballot. And in football, Middlesbrough, Fulham and Chelsea have all secured spots in the semi-final of the League Cup. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Paul Blundell.
This Christmas, why not give someone the gold scratch card?
You know what's great? It's a last-minute gift.
Yeah.
Scratch cards.
We've got a tradition. We hide them in the crackers that we've made. So we put a scratch card in each of those.
Oh, wicked.
Do you scratch it all off at once, or do you do, like, section by section?
Yeah, bit by bit.
To build up the tension?
Yeah.
Sort of like, ooh, next scratch. Ooh. It's such a great gift.
Yeah,
though.
It's fun.
Gift the gold scratch card with the National Lottery. Please gift responsibly. Rules and procedures apply. Plus must be 18 or over.
Coming up, The Business Mix Show.
Thank you.
Business Mix Show.
Good afternoon and a very croaky good evening to you, wherever you may be. I am Chrissy. Ho, ho, ho. And welcome to the Business Mix.
Chrissy, ho, ho, ho. Okay, I'm Rachel. Welcome to the Business Mix on Colourful, where we bring you the best in all things business, even during festive seasons. Christmas, New Year, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, Eid, all of it. We're still here.
We're here. Looking forward to bringing you another wonderful, wonderful show today. And just to bring that kind of Christmas glitter before we go, we've got the Mask Shopper coming to join us shortly. But how are you, Rachel? Have you been gallivanting over the last couple of weeks? Or have you been, you've been too busy to gallivant?
I've been very busy, but there's always time, you know, not to gallivant, it's actually networking.
Okay, that's the one. That's the one, Rachel.
So we have the Mask Shopper today, and I'm wondering if she's got a Christmas glittery.
I'm sure she has.
Welcome, Mask Shopper.
Hi ladies, how are you?
Hello. Fine and dandy.
I don't know if that was festive enough. I feel like we can probably have some festive jingle or something get into the spirit.
For all of us to get us in the season's greetings. But welcome. I'm sure you'll bring us the tinsel and the Christmas cheer for us, Mask Shopper. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, I can't complain. And partially, I'm really happy that we've reached the end of the year. I'm spent. I'm tired. But yeah, it would be nice just to get a bit of respite, chill, and just kind of recalibrate for 2024. I can't believe I'm saying 2024.
Like, shouldn't we be like in living in houses that are like, I don't know, or driving cars that can fly by now?
But we're nearly there. Come on.
I'm feeling we should be like in the Jetson kind of vibe.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I feel like we should be living the Jetson life kind of thing.
We're nearly there. The cars that have got no drivers, the bus, I saw this on the news. There's now buses that are controlled elsewhere. Come on, ladies. We're nearly there.
I'm kind of feeling like the buses have always been controlled by someone that's never really there.
Oh, wow.
Listen, if any bus drivers are listening, I have to say that you probably did mean it. But we've got the DLR. The DLR doesn't have a driver, does it?
It does. It still does.
Kind of operator on it, just to make sure. But yeah, it's driverless. But
But we're here.
I'm all for TFL.
Yes. So what's on today's show?
Same old, but I think more like with a festive theme going into 2024. So festive, yeah, a bit of reflection. And then just a bit of optimism for 2024. So a bit of everything. Do you want me to start?
A bit of optimism, and we would love you to start. So
Key thing. So what have I been up to? So it hasn't really, I mean, since the last time we spoke, I haven't really been up to much other than like head down in work, just lots of work and projects that have been started that's kind of like coming to an end. So I'm just having to tail those off at my 9 to 5. But just a couple of things that attended. One was Rumble in the Jungle, the rematch.
Oh, I went to that. It was amazing.
Wasn't it amazing? I didn't know what to expect, if I'm being honest, which sometimes I think it's really, really good, actually, when you don't have any expectation.
Yeah.
In my head, I'm thinking, why is this taking like 5 hours of my day in my head? Because it was like 3 hours, the whole kind of experience, but you have to make allowances an hour before, and by the time you've meandered and left, it's about 5 hours. So it's a solid day, and I think it started at 12 or 1. And so, do you know what I left? I know, obviously, it's a tale of like Muhammad Ali and Kinshasa in the Congo versus George Foreman. So, you know, that's a story that we're all well aware of, point of time. But I think how they really articulated and how they narrated the story, specifically around the match, I'll come to talk about kind of the preamble and the dwell time and the kind of entertainment in between. That buffer time where personally I was thinking I could have done without. I literally could have just gone from station to station to station, but you know, it was good. I think what I really took away from that is just how, like, you know, how positive the Black story when it's narrated in a way really is. And even like through the lens of sport, and I think this is just such a powerful thing that us as a, like, Black people as a culture bring to anything that we do when we really talk, like, embodying our culture. And through the eyes of whether it's sport or music, there's always an underlining story that just lifts us. And I think what was really nice was that they involved the audience, especially like young people. Mm-hmm. And you could just see the correlation from like 1974 to now 2023, and how that fight in Africa, in Zaire, in Africa, has transcended over to here. And there was something just there for everybody, whether it's that you're a boxing fan and you were, or, you know, you were for Muhammad Ali and he was, you know, all about his pro-Black. Or whether it is just about the adversity that two Black men faced at that time, going toe to toe, like the current, you know, best in the world, number one and number two. And then also, I think just in terms of how it just touches us in terms of the humanity of it. And so I only paid £5 for the ticket because it was like this deal, and my friend just said, oh, do you fancy going? And honestly, I think I've spent like much more money on other things, and I just didn't have that level of value in that. And I just went away feeling, in a way, just proud of like Black culture, because much more deeper than what it presents itself on a stage or on a platform, or how it's articulated on TV or any other, or even in a book.
Yeah.
It's so much more surface deep. And I think as a community, we have, you know, I'm sure other communities have that as well. But when I was like, yeah, this is like my culture story.
Yeah.
And it was moment of pride. And I could only imagine, like, if you've got children and you took your children there, that's generational knowledge that's going through.
So I told the kids the night before we were going, or a couple of days before that we were going. And then what happened was we did a little bit of research. We were watching some YouTube videos about, you know, Rumble in the Jungle and the fight. My son, who's 8, so when I said, oh, we're going to Zaire tomorrow, he's a geography boffin. So his word, Zaire doesn't exist anymore, mummy. It's now the Democratic
Republic of Congo.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, fine. So he's got a bit of knowledge. So he was watching a bit about Muhammad Ali and the fight, etc. By the time we left, do you know what his words were? Exact words to me. Well, before I say that, he was like, Mum, I need to, you said that I could talk to Muhammad Ali. You said I'd be able to see him and speak to him. I was like, yeah, we will. So after the fight bit, we went to, so they do like a bit where they both, the boxers come out. So I said, go on, go and interview him then. So he actually interviewed George Foreman.
Wow.
I asked him a question, and his question was, if you could do this fight all over again, what would you do differently?
Wow.
And then when we got home, well, no, it was before we got home, as we were walking out, he said, that was great, Mummy. He said, his words were, I went in an English boy and I came out an African man.
Oh wow!
Like, he loved it. Like, we all did. Even the girls, it was amazing. But I think for him, it was a real kind of moment for him, like, wow, this is part, like, we talk, I guess for him, he felt like he was really embedded in it, like, I'm really there, I'm really experiencing what this was like. Wow, Mum, this is amazing. So, yeah, he
loved it. I love that, the fact that you did research with them all before you went, so then you kind of knew what they were.
Yeah, because I didn't want them bothering me with questions. That's why. It was a really good. So if it comes back, I would recommend everybody going. It is a whole family affair. It's great, literally all ages. We had a 90-year-old walk into the ring with Muhammad Ali as part of like his birthday celebration and stuff. Like, you know, he was a member of the, he was an attendee, but they really do involve everybody there. So it was great fun. Great fun.
Yeah, I loved it. Even like when you go in first of all and you're like the dancing and kind of like the welcome from Congo. I love the narrative of kind of that Congolese, you know, all of that stuff that represents that. I just loved it. My only thing is that I did kind of like feel like there were times when I was just like, this could have been cut down to 2.5 hours. But, you know, there's the merch. There's the sales opportunities.
And the food.
And the food and everything like that. So you have to kind of immerse yourself and maybe just exercise a bit of patience. And but it is, it's an amazing piece of theatre to put on as a show. And I would recommend it like in a heartbeat to anyone. If it does come back. If they do another one. And it kind of reminded me, I don't know if you've ever done like the Harlem Globetrotters. Have you ever seen
it? Oh my gosh.
No. Yeah, okay, so not necessarily like that, but in terms of how they try and get people involved.
You just took us way back.
So not like the comical side of it kind of thing. It's just how they bring people and get people involved. It was just a much more cultural kind of vibe. That was a really good one to open up with in terms of what I've been up to. And from a cultural fix, I felt that lasted me a good few weeks. It just left me on a high for a really solid period of time. It also just made me think, oh my gosh, Muhammad Ali's not there anymore. It's like, just makes you in a reflective kind of, you know, to have been around in that era, to immerse yourself in all of that culture, what it would have meant to have gone to in that era, to take in a fight to Africa.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, yeah, anyway, you know, you are of your time kind of thing. And then you know, I'm all about female empowerment and just kind of just immersing yourself. And I said this last year and even the year before, in terms of really just immersing myself in networks and knowledge acquisition and just really good vibes around people who are all working towards growth, personal growth, you know, professional growth, just growth, growth in general. So I went to an event called Nurture Network. So this was actually on the back of the work that I currently do, and I met this lady online who runs the network, and it was really interesting. We were in this meeting and they were talking about economics and stuff like that. Now I don't have a brain for economics, and they were like, all this stuff was just going over my head, and then they asked me a question. I was just like, look, I'm not gonna lie, all of that just went over my head. Can you literally just kind of just break it down for me? I don't know if that's the sensible thing to do, but that's the thing that I did. And that's the thing that actually connected us, because she reached out to me after and said, you know, I really understand, appreciate your honesty about that. And this whole idea that, you know, sometimes you're in meetings and people are using all of these acronyms and things that no one knows. And all in a way, it's kind of exclusionary. It's kind of like, that empowerment to speak up and say, I don't get it. Can you just break it down so that I can contribute, kind of thing? So,
I mean, that's me, yeah. Sorry. I don't think I quite understood that. Can you explain that again for me? I'm all for saying that, because sometimes what you realize is the person talking doesn't actually understand what they're saying. Exactly. And then you just come to a place of that you can kind of work it out with the I understand now. Great.
And I think, you know, at my current input, they're really good. They've, you know, we one of the first things I read in kind of like the playbook, the organization handbook, was about abbreviations and terminology. And I think that's that in itself signifies to me inclusion, like just in general, in terms of just demystifying things that people don't understand. Mm-hmm. And if you've come up with a new terminology or an acronym or something like that, put it in the book. And so it just really just breaks down that kind of thing about, oh, do you understand it? I don't get it kind of thing. So that was good. But anyway, the event that I went to, really, really powerful speakers on there. So Nagamon Chetty, she was there, and she was talking about her story. Yes, about how she's navigated the space of a journalist and the things that she's had to, you know, overcome and put up with, especially as a black, as an Asian female journalist on the BBC. And, you know, the things that she, especially, you know, we hear about the BBC. And then also I met the lady from who wrote the book Slay Your Lane, and her name's one of the authors of Slay in Your Lane.
There's two of them, isn't there?
Yeah, I think the one is Michelle, the one that I met. But it's really fascinating in terms of how she and her friend, like the how they came to write the book, but also in terms of really how they illustrate this, the stories within it. And how they bring all of those kind of key voices within it. And actually, it's one of those things, I'd listen to audio, and it's only when they talk it back to you that you're like, actually, I need to go and listen to this again to really just get that second layer of, oh, that's what you meant, and that's what it entails. So definitely. But I think for me, it was just really encouraging just to hear female women just doing amazing things within the tech sector, within like the NHS, within journalism. And for me, I've always been one of those things, say, yeah, that's great, and shied away from it and never, and like head down, I'm just going to continue with work. But there is something powerful when women share their stories, their real organic stories, the highs, the lows, the pitfalls, the pitfalls, and all of that kind of stuff. There is something really powerful and just uplifting. And what was really good, that was, there's so many other young people there. And and I think I don't know if they were sponsored or sponsored to be there. And I just think, for me, when you're young and you're like in your teens, and if you're exposed to this, your aspirations of what is possible magnifies. It absolutely magnifies. And you know, there is aspects of thinking, I wish this was available when I was younger.
Were encouraged to go to these things when you were younger.
But they didn't exist. That's the other thing. It was just too expensive to attend.
I think they did exist, but for a certain type, class, genre, whatever you want to call it, echelons of society. Those kind of events. And maybe they weren't put on in the same way. But there was definitely those opportunities. You know, if you went to Oxbridge, for example, I'm sure you had those kind of seminars, events where you could meet people like that. But that said, I spoke to a gentleman today called Q. He runs Dope Readers Book Club. I'm definitely going to get him on the show because he's amazing about what he's done. So basically, his book club is just all black authors, and a lot of them UK authors well. Just as you're talking, just reminded me, I spoke to him today. He's actually putting on an event in March for women in publishing, writing, and publishing and writing, which is he said that he's, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, I'm going to say it anyway. He found Afua Hirsch.
Okay.
Like one of the main speakers, and he's like, he has a heart. He's like, I want as many young black women who are interested in this industry to come. It's a small, intimate affair, so it's the first one that he's doing. And when I say intimate, it's like, he said it's in a, I can't remember where it is, somewhere in East London that he's doing it, and he said there's like about maybe 30 to 50 places.
But yeah, that's coming. And as soon as I get more information on that, I will be spreading that like wildfire, and also asking Q to come on to actually talk about what he's doing, why, and yeah, how he's kind of like changing the narrative when it comes to not just black men, but black people in general, and reading and literature, etc., etc. So,
and I also think, I mean, we've got social media that plays such a massive part in what we see and how we get involved in things, where maybe when we were younger, we obviously didn't have that access. We were still hearing that dialing tone to our Wi-Fi. So, you know, those things all help increase the width and breadth, I guess, of how these events are shared, really. So it's good to know that young people are getting involved and attending these events now, because they're there and available.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, shout out to parents as well. I feel like parents, if you know these events are coming up and your child has got interest in writing, or actually, you know, children should be interested in reading, you know, well-read individuals become, you know, the leaders of the future. I think then, you know, it's when schools are probably thinking about, oh, where should we go and where should we take our children, or where, you know, these are the things that we should be advocating for them to be on as part of their kind of
curriculum.
out of term or out of school kind of activities. But speaking as a non-parent, that is, so I'm not here to tell parents what to do with the children, but it all, you know, parents have such a powerful voice.
Or uncles and godparents and grandmothers, and I agree.
It's the village.
It's the village.
So yeah, so they're kind of the two things, but definitely with the Nurture Network, it's one of those networks. I'm due to meet the founder again, so I'm definitely going to be connected with them to see, especially 2024, which really aligns with my goals and my vision and all of that stuff for 2024. It's just really immerse myself with all of this good vibe, good energy coming from aspirant and high achieving females as well. That's I mean, it was only two, but I feel like it took up quite an amount of time.
We've had a lovely discussion around them, so yes.
Excellent. And then I'll quickly canter through in terms of businesses I've supported. This is one I have previously supported before, but I ran out of the product. So I'm on my second, I think, order of it now, because the last order lasted quite long, actually, as well. And that was a solid year ago. So Chantel Sachana hair cream. And now she's, I wouldn't say she's diversified. I think probably it was always part of kind of a portfolio of workers around into doing retreats, female empowerment retreats. So I haven't registered, and I don't know, I don't think I will register, to be honest, but I have got my hair cream. But she just seems quite an inspirational young lady. And if how she runs her hair care business is anything to go by, I'm sure that her phenomenal woman empowerment retreat will be equally successful. I've really enjoyed patronizing her as a brand. Only because there is a, you know, she's very upfront and transparent about the managing expectations around delivery. You know, she is still doing all of this on her own, but, you know, she keeps me informed. The packaging's beautiful. She does all the, you know, she says she does all the artwork herself. And so I can get behind someone like that, in terms of that level of transparency. This is when you're going to get it, and when she says it's going to come, it does arrive, and things like that. So I wanted to give her a shout out, or even though I have supported her before, only because she's maintained the standards that quality of customer service, and I think with that, then actually I'm even more trusting of the products that she puts in her hair products. You know, of the ingredients that she uses for her hair products. So all of that really does reinforce, gives extra kudos to the brand image, and her as a credible businesswoman. So I really just wanted to shout her out again as well.
The whole thing, isn't it, about, you know, you become a trusted brand, like a household name, and
baby steps, right? Baby steps. And it's just so refreshing to, she was one of the brands that, you know, when we first started, like the Mars Shopper, she was in that cohort of one of those first ones that I started to support. So it's just really nice that she's still in the game. The customer service is still good. She's building on that integrity. She's a female entrepreneur of a word, and I think that's really powerful. So I'll send the link to her for anyone who wants to just check her out and what she does. And if you want to get involved, if you want to buy a hair cream, or you just want to follow her on social media just to see what she's about, not stalking, but obviously just following her social media, or get involved in a woman's...
What's the name again? Give us the brand name.
Chantel Sachana.
Chantel.
But I'll send you the link. And it's really interesting, actually, in terms of the parallels, because she came to prominence for me because of the hair cream that she was that she developed to grow her own hair. And I don't even think it was necessary growth, it was just to maintain quality of her hair. And then you see how her hair has grown quite exponentially, but I'm assuming she had long hair previously, and you know, when you put relaxer and stuff like that, it does what it needs to do. So she's nurtured her hair back to good health. And I think the other thing is that then draws parallel in terms of her growth as a businesswoman. And so actually that growth from the hair to her as a businesswoman, I think there's just something inextricably linked across the whole theme of how she sees growth and how she's able to attain growth. And I think, you know, it's just a healthier kind of narrative for someone who's been able to achieve it in one area and then actually purport to be able to do it in another area. It just adds to that brand trust.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's her. Charlotte Mensah is another one. So I have supported her before, and she's got this hair oil called... I'm basically running out of hair products. That's why. that's why this month has been investment into hair products, because and it is an investment, because when you do, like, honestly, when you do buy black hair products, it is more expensive, but the longevity that you get with it, and the quality and the volume that you, the amount that you have to use, is a lot less. So you're playing the long game with it. So it's like, over this month, I've had to spend X amount on just hair products alone. So that was kind of I'm still waiting for my order from her, but I ordered it I think last week. So, and she's also a one-man band, a bit more silent on the communication, I have to say, which is a bit disappointing, but I shall wait, and hopefully I don't have to chase. I can't abide chasing people, because then starts to get antagonistic, really. And then one of the others is a new entrepreneur. So I went to Camney Street Market, Festive Market, and so that's around near Coldrop Yard in King's Cross. And that area has either of you been there?
No, it's
I mean, if you go around King's Cross, it's not like the King's Cross of old.
There's definitely changed.
Significant regeneration around there. So they had a festive market there, and they had different variety of stores there. And then one, I think it's kind of like a wildlife park like a wildlife park that they had there, Camney Street. They had a market of independent vendors there. And so I got this really beautiful scented candle from the House of Bella Mole, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly, but they smell so delightful, and they're by a black female founder. So that was nice, and I've given away some as gifts and already, so that's my supporting a black entrepreneur. And again, I'll send you the link to that. And they've got, and I didn't know this about candles, to be honest, but like, you can have 1 wick, 2 wicks, or 3 wicks. I mean, but apparently...
I've seen this, that there's been a growth in candles. Get the drift. And so, yes, you can have 1, 2, 3, as many. I've seen huge ones.
fantastic. I had no idea, but anyway, this is a whole new language for me. So yeah, anyway, they smell nice. And yeah, like I said, I've given some gifts away, and you can get like little ones, like little tea lights. If it's just like a stocking filler gift that you wanted to give, or you can get a bigger one. And they have, I think, 2 or 3 cents. In there, but yeah, I'll send you the details.
Thank you. I'll put it out. Yeah. It's that time of year when everyone is, there's lots of arts and crafts, unique stuff that you can purchase that are not necessarily in the on the high street. So it's a great time of year. I love it. I went to the Africa Center at the weekend, where the boys from Wakuda had their first kind of festive market as well, winter market, and it was great. I got a cake from the one and only. Where do you think?
Where did you get a cake from?
Marshall and Brown, they were there. I got my Christmas rum cake. Can't wait to dive in with a bit of brandy cream. I got myself. So there's lots of that. I actually got a candle as well, but I can't remember the lovely lady who sold it. But it was really nice. So this time of year is great. So I love shopping around this time of the year. Spend lots of money supporting our people.
Yeah, no, it is important that we do that. But yeah. And there's just so much to do. But no, it's good that we've been able to get out. I haven't bought any Christmas cake, so I'm now actually, now that you said brandy cream and rum cake, it's just making my
I've never had brandy cream. I'm so I feel like the odd one out because everybody looks at me like, what? Maybe this year I'll try.
Of course you're going to try this. You'll be round my ass. Come in. Come get some brandy cream, Rachel. Come get some brandy cream.
I would try.
Yeah, brandy cream is delicious. Do you have, just aside from that, do you have like double cream or is it single cream that you do?
Oh, it's the extra double cream.
The thick one. Yeah, you have to go in, right?
If you're gonna
line your arteries, you might as well go straight in.
You might as well do it well.
No half measures at all.
Double measures in this one. Yeah. Cool. Okay. So they're like the three, and I'm sure there's more shopping I've got to do. But to be fair, I think this year I'm being a bit more frugal. And it just I have to be. So it's going to be probably just the nephews I'll be buying for, and the little ones. And little probably. Stocking fillers for everyone else and cards, but yeah, it's going to be a frugal one. The bank is taking all my money.
I think that's pretty kind of standard this year. The same thing. So I don't know if that's just what happens when you get older. You're just like, forget that.
I heard on the news that the average cost of Christmas is like somewhere in the thousands. I'm just like, whose Christmas is in the thousands?
Christmas where? What is this? Why are we doing that?
So for me, I'm just like, I'm not going to be putting myself through that just for one day and then having to somehow the whole of next year just having to endure just paying off for it. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So that's that, moving swiftly on. So what I've missed just really quickly. So this ties into our discussion later on. So what I missed is a couple of business awards, actually, both of them based in Birmingham. So the Birmingham Black Business Show, which was earlier this year, wasn't it? And then, the Black Small Business Community Awards. Honestly, I see these things on LinkedIn and it's absolute FOMO. Absolute FOMO. I'm just like, oh man. I've seen a number of shows, and business events and conferences that were sold out and did phenomenally well this year. Tickets are already going on sale. So I think I just need to be a bit more early and a bit more organized and get them and buy them. The Black Business Shows, that was the one that was at the Design Center, and it looks absolutely phenomenal. So I did miss that one. And then Beauty Beat event, which I went to last year. Okay. And the goodie bag was amazing last year. So I don't know how I missed the updates for it. But by the time I went to book, the goodie
bag, it's already sold out.
No. So the one, okay. So you know how they tier it? So they like,
yes.
If you buy your tickets, okay. Then you get a goodie bag. And then if like other ticket, once the goodie bags have gone, then you get just a normal ticket entry.
Yes.
So, the goodie bag was where it was at last year, man. It was just like phenomenal with some absolute bangers of treats in there. Like literally, that could have been my gifting.
Oh wow!
It was. I'm sure they said it was like over £650 worth of stuff. And you know when people say yeah, they just make the stuff up. No, if I'm going on what was in it last year, solid, some really really good stuff like MAC and L'Oreal and Nivea and just lots of really just good stuff, like good stuff. So by the time, and this was like your ticket's like £50, so it's just a good ROI if nothing else. And if you're smart enough, I don't even think they put any resale, not for resale, on any of the stuff. So the savvy person will probably just go on.
I don't know what you're trying to say here, Mar Shopper.
Well, you know, it is Christmas. So, or you would just gift them as Christmas gifts, quite frankly.
Either or.
But like the savvy person, be like, yeah, this is just my Christmas shopper all in one bag for all my female friends and probably non-binary friends as well. So I'm just like, I was gutted I missed it. And then they said, oh, you can go on the waiting list. So I do go on the waiting list, but nothing came of it.
Oh,
so I kept my £50 in, just, you know, I was just sulking, quite frankly. So yeah, so that's that. But that'll teach me that next year, book in advance when I see it come up or online or something like that. Just book it straight away rather than wait for them to send me an email. But no, it was good. It looks like it was a great event on social media as well. So good for them. Moving on, so we are in the season of giving.
Yes.
And I'm of the opinion that one of the things, if we know, and we're in this entrepreneurial space, we support small businesses. And then actually one of the things I was thinking in terms of, you know, how else can I support small businesses, or how else can I support a friend that may be struggling who has a business or might have a side hustle? And then actually it's about things about accessing business support. And I know we've talked about this before, but I think there is something about our communities, you know, some communities who sometimes don't feel it's for them, don't ask for support, don't know where to go, probably can't even afford sometimes that £10 membership to access a certain community on a monthly basis. And you know, sometimes if we can subsidize that for a period of time, or you know, give them access to certain type of knowledge through business support programs, that will just relieve them and let them know that there's other people out there that's able to help. And just breaking down this idea that we have to be superhuman, super women, super men, or whomever it is to troubleshoot our own business issues, there's support out there. And one of the things that really came to mind was about earlier this month, the Mayor of London announced funding of up to, I think, £62 million to support small businesses as part of the UK Shared Prosperity Fund, which is drawn down from the Levelling Up Fund that we've heard so much about in terms of levelling up Britain. And this is specifically for small and micro businesses across London. And one of the things I sometimes don't think business realises, A, they can go to their local authority for support. In essence, they need you to be thriving in or to be having some form of, doing some form of entrepreneurial activity or earning a living to contribute to the local economy. And actually, you going and asking them for support isn't too far-fetched of an idea, because if they want you to be able to achieve that, then they need to be able, they've got a vested interest in trying to assist you to do that. And then the other thing is that this is your taxpayers' money. So you need to try and get bangs from your bucks from it. So I would say if anyone is supporting You know, you have a small, you have a friend who's running a small business. It's great if you are, you know, you're supporting them, you're liking them and things like that. But other things is in terms of, it's stressful and it's lonely. Signpost them to, you know, professionals who can help them as well. So I'll share the link with you for that as well, so that anyone who knows a small business can signpost them. It's no different that if someone was suffering from their health, you would say, go and check it out at the doctor. Yeah. Let's get in the habit of actually, have you asked for support? Have you asked for help? Where can I go to for help? And I think it'll just be, it's a great kind of thing that we should probably try to get into the mindset of doing. That, you know, if people are, entrepreneurs are stressed in their business, then that impacts so much else of their life.
Yeah, definitely.
And if there's a way that we can help them to address that, then let's try and do, you know, if someone's there that's funded to help them in their business, let's try and get that help to them. So, yeah.
Thank you. And what a lovely gift it would be if you, like, a year's membership, that's like £70, whereas they may not have been able to afford it. What a great present that would be for someone who's starting their own business. It would be a great present.
Actually, do you know what I'm going to do? It's my gift. I'm going to find a number of membership organisations that I've either worked with, familiar with, have got been given good reviews, and I'm going to ping them over to you. Maybe you can just put that online for organisations. Black founders of organisations who are there to help you, and you're like, you know, gifts. Even if it's 3 months membership, like, just give them something to give them a bit of respite. Gotcha. So that they can have this extra resource in their business. Actually, I feel like we should petition for this. We should not necessarily set something else, because that's like additional work, but advocate for this kind of way of
people. We'll talk offline, because the light bulb, I can see light bulbs. Ideas come in.
Let's do it. Let that be our New Year's resolution.
When will we come back? In what month will we come back and say
January?
Done. Okay, so next month we're going to come back.
The light bulb is kind of dimmed a bit, but we'll work with that. We'll work with that, my shopper. We'll work with it.
No, January. Let's go. Even if we only have to start with one, right, or something like that. Something true. Small. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be anything huge or anything like that. Let's commit and let's just move forward. Let's be people of action.
I'm with you.
Women of action. Okay, cool. Quickly, because I know probably haven't got much time. So let's support Yum Chops. They are a African fusion meal. They've recently been stocked in Sainsbury's, and they're looking to diversify into more kind of vending machine options in various spaces. I spoke to them. It's just really good, their thought process in terms of their business development.
What are they called again?
Yum Chops.
Yum Chops. I'll
share information of that. Adinkra London, Orate. I love how they talk about that, refer to themselves as orators of African culture through fine accessories and attire. Now, just on that alone, wouldn't you just want to buy your partner?
Come on. Is that a pair of earrings? No, actually, I'll tell you what it is. This is
it's not just any earring, it's a dinkra.
It's a dinkra earrings. Hello.
Yeah. But I don't think they do inkrins. They do it's men.
Yeah, I was gonna say ties because I thought it was ties, but ties and stuff. Yeah.
Spot on, yeah. So ties and cufflinks and handkerchiefs and neckerchiefs and stuff like that. I think they have started diversifying into aspects for female accessories, but I think predominantly they are for male. So that's good. Have we got time for Black In, Black Out?
We can do two sessions.
Okay, so let's go with March Muses.
Can you give us a clue?
They are Black Inn, right? Are they the ladies that sell the Christmas decorations?
This is a competition. I'm waiting for Chrissy.
Oh, sorry. Gosh. Okay, Black Inn.
Yeah, spot on, Rachel.
She copied my answer.
Well, you gave it to her. You can't know.
Oh, I thought it was first on the buzzer. Like, who got there first?
You see, you've been out of action for a bit. No,
yeah, she hasn't done it for a while.
I'm feeling this because you've forgotten. This one goes to Chrissy.
It's fine. It could be my charity work for the year. All right, Chrissy.
Oh, bless. and then there is St. Ames.
Black Inn. I said it too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it is Black Inn. It's that uber chic. They refer to themselves as London's prettiest tea shop.
Yes.
And they remind me a bit of, is it Elan or Ellen or E-L-A-N? That kind
of thing. I went there for my sister took me there for my birthday.
What, St. Ames?
No, I wanted to go to St. Ames, but they weren't open on the day that she was available.
L-N-N.
She said it was a bit of a letdown. It looks much prettier online.
Which one did you go to? There were so many.
It's near Harrods.
Oh, the L-N-N one? You went to, or St. Ames?
No. LN, whatever it's called.
Yeah, I think it's LNN. Yeah, they've got branches all over the place. They've even got one in King's Cross. All I know is that their hot chocolates are so overpriced. Like, since when you only get, like, I think £2.50 from the change of a £10 for a hot chocolate? It's daylight robbery.
It's crazy.
And you're taking it away.
Yeah, I know.
And you're taking it away. I'm just like, what? Anyway, so that was 2-2. Let's go with that.
Thank you. Shopper, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us for this. Really? I know, right? Oh yeah, it's been a pleasure having you, and we can't wait for 2024 and all the new things you're going to bring. And I'm sure you've got some new goals and aspirations that we can't wait to hear about for next year.
Yeah, there's lots. I mean, we covered so much. I feel like we'll probably have to make these make my topics a bit less. But yeah, we covered so much. And thank you again, ladies, for having me on. It has been fulfilling. It's been like in just a number of ways, in terms of laughter, in terms of educational, in terms of inspiration. It's just like touched me on so many different levels. So I really appreciate you.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
And yeah, thank you. Just stay masked.
Stay masked. Stay masked. I think that's going to be your tagline. Stay masked.
See you 2024, ladies. Have a good one. Take care.
Thank you. Chrissy, we've come to the end of another. I can't believe how quick it goes sometimes.
I'm like, no.
I've only been in the studio for 10 minutes and now we've got to go again. But then we go.
But guess what? I'll see you next week, though.
You will.
Keep it colourful.
The Business Mix Show.